Welcome to Section 420, Talking Yankees, the podcast. Well, I've got a special episode for you. I'm going to be featuring the life and career of Art Schalk. Now, you might think, who is he and why are we discussing him? Maybe not really a great player. Yes, a former Yankee and can also spend some time with the Baltimore Orioles. But just recently, this past April 25th, he became the oldest Major League player still left alive right now, as well as the oldest Yankee. So, you know, check both of those boxes off. Not someone who I've ever heard of before, and again, not really a impressive career, at least stats-wise, but had an interesting, colorful life, which is still going on right now. Spent time during World War II, again, as part of that greatest generation. So, you know, for reaching the great milestone, 100 years, hey, you know, we wish we'd all get there. I guess we'll look back at his career, you know, not only in baseball, but also his service during World War II. So this is a special episode for you podcast subscribers, which is why you want to subscribe. So if you haven't done it already, make sure you do that. Get cool episodes like this, other fun stuff, and of course, talking about the current 2024 Yankees as we go along in this season. So you want to get all that cool stuff being a podcast subscriber. And of course, make sure you go over to YouTube as well. We've got some Section 420 Talking Yankees content for you there. Go there, Section 420 Talking Yankees. Look it up, subscribe, and get notified when new episodes go up there as well. So this past Thursday, April 25th, which maybe to me and you is just an ordinary Thursday, turned out to be the 100th birthday of Art Schalk, not only become the oldest major league player still left alive at the moment, of course, the oldest Yankee as well. Not really an impressive career overall, but did come up during the right time there. So maybe it was a short career, but I guess he did have some fun there. Coming up in 1951, where, of course, you have Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford and those great Yankees there, and he was kind of at least in the mix of some of the early part of that. And again, didn't get too much postseason playing time. We'll get into all that cool stuff, but we'll look at the gentleman here born back in 1924, so April 25th, 1924. Now, he did serve in World War II. He enlisted in 1942, and in the Battle of Nankin, you know, came brushed up against death. I guess one of the ships that was next to him, that was the USS Lincoln Bay, actually was sunk by the Japanese fleet there. 644 killed, but luckily for Art, he made it out of there alive, and he would continue to pick up with his dream of playing baseball. Grew up in California. Now, this is back before you really had the Oakland A's or the San Francisco Giants. So really growing up, he did kind of like the Yankees. So for him to be either drafted by the Brooklyn Dodgers or the Yankees, kind of be in the mix there, was kind of a dream come true. Now, originally did sign up with the Dodgers. He got a $5,000 signing bonus. And as he was pitching there in the minors, eventually would be trading to the Yankee system and would come up finally in July 15th, 1951. Now, you might say, well, he's just a call-up. You don't think too much of it. But he was called up because the player they sent down at the time was number six, Mickey Mantle. Now, again, Mantle came to the, started the Yankees as number six in 1951, but did not get off to a good start, and the Yankees eventually sent him down. And that's when he had an infamous discussion with his father when Mantle was almost looking to quit baseball, and his father said, all right, well, if you want to quit, you could come with me to work in the coal mines. Kind of, a little come to Jesus moment there for Mickey Mantle, where then Mantle kind of looked at himself, all right, well, do I want to play baseball and pursue my dream or work on some coal mine there with my father and other relatives? So he kind of snapped Mantle into form there a little bit, and he kind of regained his swing there in the minors and eventually would rejoin the Yankees in 1951 and become more the Mickey Mantle that we thought he would be, and of course would change his number from number six to number seven. But again, when he was sent down, it was Art who was called up during that period there. So I guess that's how the two of them are linked. And unfortunately for Mantle, even though he did come back strong in 51, had the bad knee injury in the postseason. That's the whole situation with him and Joe DiMaggio out there in the outfield. But again, the Yankees would at least win the 1951 World Series. As for Art, he came up a little bit earlier with the Yankees. Now, when he did make his debut officially, was at age 27. But he spent some time roommating with Yogi Berra. And I guess since, Berra was kind of the more of a veteran there, I guess Art would kind of be a bit of the gopher there. Just, it's kind of the way it is when you kind of pay your dues a little bit. And he kind of recounts that as they were teammates, Yogi would send Art downstairs to go pick up Yogi's comics for him. So that was kind of their little haha story there. So, Art, you look at his stats, which I'll go over here, not really that impressive. Again, had a five-year career, so somewhat short. Spent four of those years with the Yankees officially from 1951 to 1955. Again, but most of the time was spent in the minor league system. He was only really up very brief moments on the major league level, and was only really involved in two of the Yankee World Series runs there, even though he came up there in the early 50s where it seemed like either the Yankees or the Dodgers from almost the World Series every year. But we'll look at his career. So at least pitching-wise, in 58 games, had a career record of the 6-7. So again, not that much there. ERA of 4.02, pitched a total of 170.1 innings, did give up 199 hits. So you're looking at more than a hit per inning there. So again, not good. 76 earned runs, 11 total home runs, and did have 91 walks. So, you know, averaging maybe about a half a walk per inning, which is not terrible, but his 199 hits and 170 innings is probably why he never saw much playing time there in the majors. Now, he was officially on two of the Yankees postseason rosters during that little brief time. That was the 1951 World Series and the 1953 World Series. Now, in 51, he didn't get any playing time at all. He still gets a ring, but then didn't get any playing time involved with that one. He did briefly participate, had one game where he pitched in the 1953 World Series and actually got the infamous Jackie Robinson out one moment. So that's probably his career highlight, getting Jackie Robinson out in the 1953 World Series just for one appearance there. Now, again, back in the day, this is way before the DH. So not only as, you know, if he was a pitcher, he also had to hit. And again, the stats there also aren't really that impressive. In the same 58 games, a career average of just 200, 45 at-bats, just had 9 hits, just 2 RBIs, 4 walks, and 17 strikeouts. So he got 2 rings with the Yankees officially. That was in 51 and 53. And since he was up and down a lot with the organization, you know, he never had a consistent number. So wore number 26, wore number 20 at some point, wore number 38 at some point, and finally his final number as a Yankee was number 19. And as I mentioned, in 55, he would be traded to the Baltimore Orioles, where he wore number 20, and then he would finally retire at the end of the 1955 season at the ripe young age at 31. But maybe back then at 31, you were pretty much washed up if you didn't make it yet. So it is even today some guys in the minors that really haven't been called up yet, and they're 31 years old. But again, a very brief career there. And he told a couple of stories, just mainly with Casey Stengel. This guy had to do with, people ask him, well, what's the secret to a long life? He said he kind of cut back on his drinking. I guess he would just have like 2 vodka and sodas back in the day, and his wife kind of would really water it down for him, so it wasn't that much. But he kind of get back into drinking with Casey Stengel. He mentioned that Casey Stengel would allow beers in the clubhouse, and it would be very common for him and some of the other players to have some beers after the game. Mainly he referenced that, you know, Casey Stengel would rather have them drink there than versus them, you know, 2 players going off on their own, sort of like Mickey and Whitey or Mickey and Billy Martin. Because if you get the 2 of them kind of go off on their own into a bar, well, that could just go all night and go out of control. So actually, Casey Stengel would rather have the people drinking inside the clubhouse, have a few drinks, and then go home. So at least Casey was trying to manage things that way. Plus, Casey didn't like the idea that even if a couple guys are innocently going to a bar by themselves, even if they're not really going crazy, just the fact that a few people see him there, and then the next day, let's say you go 0-3, 0-4, people, you know, then it gets out in the news, well, they were drinking the night before, and that's why, even though it's not the case. You know, baseball is very tough. You could be a player on top of your game, so go 0-3 there. But Casey Stengel would rather have the people have their kind of have their little liquor there in the clubhouse after the game versus going out there. So that's one of the stories Art was told. And then when asked who he thought the greatest player was, he referenced Joe DiMaggio. I guess he probably saw him this for a little brief time as they were both teammates for a couple of months there in 1951. And since Art was a pitcher, who he mentioned, who was the best pitcher ever, he mentioned Allie Reynolds, the former Yankee. Now, reason I find that interesting is that if a season ago, if you were a podcast subscriber of Section 420 Talking Yankees, I actually did a whole episode featuring Allie Reynolds there. So this kind of ironic that Art mentioned him as the greatest pitcher he ever saw in person there. So that's the career of Art Schalk. Again, not much of an impressive career on the field, but of celebrating his 100th birthday. So, you know, definitely deserves some recognition there. And because, you know, if you're going to have a short career, you're going to come up, well, hey, coming up in 1951 and playing for those early 50 Yankees teams is the time to do it. And of course, also hero served in World War II. Now, these days, you know, he's not too mobile. He's kind of confined to a wheelchair. His hearing's not that great and sight's not that great. I don't ever recall him getting sort of the 7th inning stretch, God Bless America, a little recognition there that they do at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if they ever brought him in. Maybe they did a season or two ago and I forget. Not someone typically that, you know, you think back in the Yankee lore, but maybe the Yankees will organize something for him this season. That'd be nice. Even if you could do it via Zoom, obviously it'd be hard for him maybe to get to the stadium, but if they could do something like that, the God Bless America, because the Yankees, you know, as you know, Yankee Stadium, they kind of salute old veterans and stuff. So hopefully have something there for Art. So that's the episode. Art Schalk, 100 years old, and hopefully has another 100 years in him. Catch you next time.